Thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop. I'm Brian Shields. Welcome to WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. Well, we have one of the region's finest chefs in the studio with us today, and he's going to answer your questions about food and fine dining. Serge Medikians is here. He is the culinary mind behind Saravan in Armenia, New York. He is known for the Armenian and Iranian influences he brings to Hudson Valley cuisine. He grew up in pre-revolutionary Iran and studied economics and public policy in California. While working for the Giuliani administration in New York, he decided to pursue culinary arts on the side, graduating from the International Culinary Center. The chef has a reverence for fresh, healthy, and local food and thinks of cooking as a musical endeavor. So let's get to know the chef, and we welcome your calls at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wamcradio. You can tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop, that's at WAMC Vox Pop. And of course, there's the old-fashioned telephone as well at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Chef Serge, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
You told me earlier that cooking you see as a musical endeavor, and you explained it to me before the program in beautiful language, and I'd love to hear it again.
Well, I prefer to be called Serge.
Serge.
I only am a chef when I'm in the kitchen.
Okay.
I have a dance background, and I have piano background, and I have a very musical mind, and I really consider flavors to be notes. And as I was explaining to you, our mouth is a stage. It receives. When we listen to music, we hear, we listen to it with our ears. When we taste food, we experience the flavors through our mouths, and the level of excitement and joy and tantalization that they offer to me is very similar to what notes do to our ears, to our soul. So when preparing food, the composition of the dish, the flavor spectrums, the way they dance with each other, the way they move with each other, that's how I work in the kitchen. That's how I understand.
You are an Armenian who spent time in Iran. What does that bring to your cooking, that background?
Well, I mean, I'm not an Armenian who spent time in Iran. I was born in Iran. I was
right.
Born and raised in Iran, and I lived there until I was 17 and had to leave because of the revolution. That's a really good question. I mean, I think through my cooking and through my dialectic with my craft, I learned that every day. I mean, I'm an entity that grows and learns on a daily basis. But I think what it does is what I try to do, or what I'm aware of wanting to do, is a level of respect, understanding, humility to what I possess as a human being and how I was raised, some of the fundamental values and beliefs and understandings that were imparted to me as a child, as a kid growing up, and as a man that I am now, as an uncle, as a brother, as a son that is Armenian with the Iranian heritage that lives in the United States. So that entity happens to cook. So it is not really with a purpose or an objective. I just believe that once that entity cooks, the product will be highly influenced by the Iranian, Armenian influences that are within me, be it the music, be it the language, be it the poetry, be it the art, be it the literature of those cultures that have influenced my soul, my mind, my philosophy, my thinking, my beliefs.
Did they teach you that at the culinary center, to bring yourself, your background, everything you just mentioned into your cooking, or is that something you brought to it? Was that part of the curriculum down there?
I think at French Culinary Institute, which I really enjoyed my time there, it's called the International Culinary Center now, they taught me great amount of technique, mm-hmm. you know? And I've always cooked, you know, I come from a family that cooked, from grandparents, grandmothers, grandfathers, mom, dad. But I think also I need to say that it's not the cooking that has really influenced me as much as the joy of eating. I come from a family that really enjoyed eating. And I think there are two different things. And it was that joy of eating in college that compelled me to cook on my own, which I normally don't because it's kind of boring to just cook for one person. But I love to cook for groups.
The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, today on Food Friday. I was friends with a foreign exchange student many years ago, and he told me that Americans eat to survive. They don't eat to enjoy, as you just mentioned, enjoy eating. Is that true? Do we just eat because it helps us stay alive, because we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's what we're supposed to do, and we just don't really pay attention as much to the flavors and the cuisine and the taste, et cetera. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if that's true any longer. I think we're the paradigm for enjoyment and eating well has completely changed. And I think there were plenty of writers, M.F.K. Fisher, Julia Childs, Elizabeth David, a lot of writers that really tried to help us understand what good food is, the enjoyment. And I think that's a generalization. I think there is a large portion of the society, whether you're American, Armenian, Iranian, French, Italian, that just eats. And then there is a large, sizable portion that just really likes to enjoy. Now, culturally, Iranian, Armenian cultures really value the gathering of sitting down and eating and preparing and involvement by everybody. It's not just the mother in the kitchen. Everyone's in the kitchen. It's not just the grandmother. It's everybody's in the kitchen. And so I don't know if that generalization really applies, but I know several people that will be very happy eating a grilled cheese sandwich every day.
800-348-2551. Our first caller is Ryan from Albany. Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good. So I am with my friend Missy, and we're actually on our way to a venison course through a Cornell Cooperative Extension. And I was just curious, given your affinity for local foods and your background, have you worked with venison before, and how has your background influenced the way you prepare the food?
I'm not sure if it's really my background that has influenced my using the venison, but yes, I have worked with venison, both local and not local venison. And I think with venison, you just want to be very careful. I don't know what cut of venison you'll be using. If you're thinking of doing a stew or you're thinking of using a chop of venison, I think venison as a meat that is not very marbleized really likes to have some help with flavoring it. And you want to cook it very carefully because it can easily dry out. And if you're going to use a chop, you surely want to not serve it any more than medium rare.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific question beyond just how to use it? Because it really depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking in terms of the back straps and preparing those and pairing them with other side dishes and beverages.
I think venison, the way I always think of it, is that it really likes some sort of a macerated or slowly cooked fruit, dark colored fruits. and it likes a nice amount of acidity and something that will make it rich, whether you want to use a little bit of fat as butter or a little bit of heavy cream, or if you want to make a, you know, sauce from a foie. I think it really likes that unctuousness because it lacks itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and good luck at your course. 800-348-2551. This is Food Friday on Vox Pop. We'll be back in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Ackerman's Appliance, Hudson. For 37 years, a locally owned dealer of appliance brands such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Blue Star, Bosch, and more. Showroom on Warren Street, Ackerman'sAppliance.net. And CSCA, New York's leading union for more than a century.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Serge Madikians is the, I'll get it right before the end of the program, believe me.
It's all right.
Saravan is the restaurant in Amenia, New York. And why don't you tell us a little bit, what's on the menu, say, tonight? What's the special? So give us a taste of what you prepare.
Tonight, actually, we're going to have sturgeon. Which I really like, and serve it. I combine it with lightly marinated red cabbage and mustard seeds and some fennel seeds and some herbs, and then surround the dish with a vodka and sour cream and caviar sauce. And just sear the sturgeon to medium rare and serve it. And then we very slowly cook fingerling potatoes so they really absorb the flavor of the liquid. Then we smash them and fry them really quickly. So that's one of the dishes.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
I like the idea of using something very... you know, every day, like the cabbage that we don't use as much, and instead of braising it for a long time, just marinating it for a short time, and then combining it with the American Ossetra caviar.
And local ingredients are really important to you, right?
Local ingredients are important in a sense that my relationship with the farmers are important. That to me is a lot more important than the local ingredients, because well, that doesn't sound right. What motivates me about local ingredients is the close relationship with the farmers, because farmers, especially the ones that I have developed a relationship with, have helped me develop a much better and deeper understanding of ingredients.
Okay. Zach, I love Jimi Hendrix, but I think he's still playing there. Thank you. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Rachel. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm fascinated by this show. Chef, I lived in Armenia with my husband for a couple of years. I was actually down in Kapan, which is down in the southern part of Armenia, near the Iranian border.
Yes.
And I particularly loved the use of pomegranates, walnuts, eggplant, some things that we can find in this country, but that are not used, I think, to the extent that they're used in the Caucasus and in Persian cooking. And I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Oh, I mean, you're singing my type of ingredient music. So I love those ingredients. I use them all the time. Pomegranate is such a fall fruit. And it reminds me of when I was a kid and I was taking piano lessons, when I did my scales well. One of the rewards was going outside and grabbing a pomegranate from the tree. And we eat it in a very primitive manner, just cracking it open and eating the seeds. I think they're very diverse, and I'm very happy to see that they are being used more and more here. I'm not very happy at the cost of the pomegranate because it's become very, very expensive over the last 8-9 years. But I think it's one of the kings of the fruits. And one of the things that I love to put together, and you may try this, I get beautiful eggplants from Montgomery Place Orchard near Bard College. They have beautiful eggplants, or from Bard College Farm eggplants, and marinate them and then grill them and serve them with a mixture of pomegranate, walnut, and green olives, and a little bit of pomegranate molasses and yogurt. It is an absolutely delicious, delicious light appetizer.
Oh, it sounds like heaven. Oh.
Yes. You can check out our website or go to our Facebook page. There are images of that dish.
That sounds delicious. What is your Facebook or your website?
Saravon.com, and our Facebook page is Saravon NY.
And Saravon is spelled S-E-R-E-V-A-N.
Yep.
800-348-2551 is the number to call today on Food Friday. I noticed a couple of times you mentioned cooking rare to medium.
That's medium rare.
Medium rare. You don't want to overdo anything. It seems like that's very important in your cuisine.
Well, yes. I mean, for me, as a person who is a carnivore and mm-hmm. eats meat, mm-hmm. I like my meat medium rare.
Right.
If you come to my restaurant and you want venison well done, I hope you enjoy it. That's not the way I would enjoy it.
Right.
And I think meat, like there are a lot of people that like their meat well done. My sister's husband, they like their meat well done. They like it like that. I did too when I was a kid.
So did I, but I've gone more over
you
to
know,
rare.
I've, yeah. Like I just eat it differently. So it's my preference. I'm not in any position to tell you how to enjoy my food. I don't think that's my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I prepare the food. I hope you would want to enjoy it the way I've prepared it. We have prepared it. I don't do it by myself. Everybody in the kitchen helps me. There's tremendous amount of work that goes on before 5 p.m.
Sure.
And once you come to the restaurant, what you see is the effort of everyone. Everyone in the kitchen, their effort shows on the plate. It's my name on the menu, but it's the effort of everybody. So if you want to enjoy it well done, please be my guest.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. Today on Food Friday, Serge Madikians of Saravon in Amenian, New York. 800-348-2551 is our chef today. And we welcome your calls. Also, post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. Tweet your questions at @WAMCVoxPop. Comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMCRadio. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. What about appetizers or soups or salads? How does that play out?
What do you mean? How does it play out?
How is that prepared in your restaurant? What's different there that we wouldn't get anywhere else, perhaps?
Well, I think where you may not get one thing that we put on our menu every winter is our organic yogurt barley soup, which is a very, very traditional Armenian soup, apur. I have images of my mom standing at the stove and stirring it, image of my both grandmothers doing that. It is, for me, like matzah ball is comfort food for a lot of people. Mm. Apur is complete comfort food for me. And I am very happy to see how our diners really are excited when winter comes, because we have a lot of diners that have been eating with us for the last 10 years,
sure.
And they look forward to the soup. So that's one soup that you can, one ingredient that I don't think you will see. Another thing that I do is, again, John Paul from Bard College Farm, Talaya from Montgomery Place Orchard, Talaya, Doug, Caroline, they grow beautiful eggplants. So I buy a lot of eggplants from them. We roast them and we freeze them. So that way, this time of the year, I can have an eggplant salad that we toss with shallots, chives, parsley, cilantro, and then we serve it with pita chips, a really, again, another popular salad at Saravan. And that, I have to give credit to my dear mom, because that was the only way I would eat eggplant when I was a kid.
This seems like a lot of slow cooking in your kitchen. There any microwaves in there?
There are no microwaves at
Saravan. I didn't think so. What's the importance of, you said your mom would stand there and stir the pot, and a lot of ethnic groups, the Italians, I mean, they can go back to their mom or their grandmother standing there and stirring over the stove for so many hours. That just makes it better, doesn't it?
Well, you know, for me, cooking, the beauty of cooking is sharing it. And if I want to share it, I have a feeling for it. I have to give it feelings. So I'll tell you, recently I met somebody, and the idea of cooking for that person was just so exciting that I was a nervous wreck.
Why? What made it so?
Because I wanted to make sure that this person, that I did a really good job, that what I would cook for this person would be incredibly delicious, the best I could do. And the only way I could do that is if I impart those feelings. And what awakens those feelings are those memories. You know, up to this day, when I cut a piece of bread, I remember my grandfather showing me how to hold the bread in one hand and how to use the knife in the other. I must have been 7 or 8. Or when I buy cucumbers, I think of my aunt telling me how to pick a healthy cucumber. You know, up to this day, when I eat asparagus, I have this image of my father enjoying an asparagus. I, as a little boy, wanted to puke because I couldn't see how he could eat that.
Yeah.
But now that I know how to enjoy asparagus, that joy translates into me. That's awakened. Those feelings are evoked.
You did not start as a chef. You began working in politics. Why did you make the transition?
It was just completely an accident. Yeah. It was completely perchance. I, at 37, I had the opportunity to go to culinary school, and I had a one-bedroom apartment in New York City where I hosted a lot of dinner parties. And I thought to myself, well, I'll either change careers or I'll be a better cook. Like, I have nothing to lose going to school 3 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And then I was there, and I remember the moment precisely. I was reaching for a plate, and I went to grab the plate, and it's as though the world stopped. It just completely stopped, and I don't know how long I was there. The sensation, the light, the noise, the excitement, the smells, and I just knew that this is what I wanted to do, you know, and I haven't looked back.
800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Our next caller is from Amherst, Fiuza. Did I say that right?
Fiuza?
Yep. Okay, I did.
Oh, hi, Fiuza.
Oh, hi. So I just want to thank the host for bringing a guest from that part of the world.
And, you're welcome.
And I'm cooking something totally Persian. That's where I'm from.
Oh, salam.
Salam.
How
and I'm making a nice vegan adas polo with really good.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Dates Horma from real Iran. And I just want to thank you. And I said that, and also that next time we are in the area, we're going to come to your place.
Sounds wonderful. Adas Polish is making lentil rice.
Lentil, with French lentil, the black ones. I didn't have
They're
regular
delicious.
Lentils,
well, those are better.
I don't know. I'm trying it.
They won't break up as quickly.
I know my dog will eat it no matter what. My husband will be the one. But no, here's my real question.
This is the question I have for you. Are you making fried onions for those shallots?
Yes, the onions with the spices and the rose petals and everything.
Oh, you're doing rose petals too. That's wow.
Yeah, the rose petals with the spices and the advier.
Yeah.
It's been done a while ago.
Okay.
Not a while ago, just maybe an hour ago.
Yeah, wonderful.
So I just boiled the rice and the lentil. So anyway, here's my real question.
Yep.
I'm a really good cook, and everyone says, oh, you should do this. Do you find it that a lot of people like this kind of food where you are?
That's a good question. Yes. I mean, I consider myself a very lucky person because work is work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to me, when I try to play in the kitchen, when mm-hmm. I, especially mm-hmm. spring, summer, mm-hmm. fall, mm-hmm. where there are all these ingredients and you can mm-hmm. get inspired and excited mm-hmm. and motivated, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I really find the kitchen a playground for me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As I said earlier in the show, I don't consciously think, okay, well, I'm going to put this influence or mm-hmm. that influence.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
because I'm an Armenian from Iran, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I respect, like, and enjoy both cultures, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. just natural mm-hmm. that those mm-hmm. cultures come mm-hmm. out. Those influences mm-hmm. are revealed in mm-hmm. the ingredients I use, in mm-hmm. the treatment of the ingredients, in the spices mm-hmm. that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I consider myself lucky is, you know, Sarah Vaughan is 10 years old and people love the dishes. I mean, I'm known for our stews, and 90% of the time, my stews are very Iranian-inspired stews. Khoresh. You know, Khoresh Bademjoun, Khoresh Fesenjoun. You know, it's like all of those. Like, we just recently made Fesenjoun. And I've combined Takhchin and Fesenjoun together. So we're making a Fesenjoun Takhchin, which has been received really well. And I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I have a good appliance and all that, although I learned the cooking from my great-grandmother's chef
mm-hmm.
when she started the fire early morning. So actually, I'm making the atas pulao exactly the way she taught me when I was a little person.
So in the old ways.
The old ways. She
Thank
really
you so
fired
much
up.
For saying all this.
Hmm?
I said, thank you very much. You've made
so
me
anyway,
happy.
Thank you, and we'll
thank you.
Love to come have your food there.
Sounds
Thanks.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
He's got your table waiting already. 800-348-2551. Anne Marie is calling from Hyde Park. Anne Marie?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm actually en route to Rhinebeck, but my quick question, I ate at the restaurant last week and I had a marvelous sturgeon dish, and I asked the waitress what the special flavor that I noticed was very prevalent was arak. And I was curious, is this in the anise family? And how do you delicately introduce it to the sauce?
There was arak in one dish last week, and it was in the oysters and the shrimp. I don't know if that's the dish that you had, but as I explained earlier when he was talking about the sturgeon dish, the cabbage, the red cabbage, we marinated separately, and then right as we're plating it in kitchen lingo a la minute, I sprinkle a little bit of anise seed, not fennel, but anise, just a few anise seeds, because I really like when you are eating and you have little surprises here and there. It's not a bold overall flavor, but a little surprise, so when you chew on it, you will have a refreshing little taste in your mouth. And if you ate the sturgeon, then you were biting into an anise seed.
I think it was a cabbage that I had, actually. I sampled it. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. The number to call, 800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. Today on Food Friday. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com. And Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com.
You're listening to Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. Chef Serge Medikians of Saravan. I can say Saravan. What does Saravan mean?
I'm dyslexic.
Uh-huh.
So when I was thinking of names for the restaurant, in my New York City apartment, my computer was against the wall, and I had all these yellow post-its of names, Israeli names, mm-hmm. Hebrew names, Armenian names, Indian names, Iranian names. And two names that I had there were Sevan, which is a lake in Armenia, and Yerevan, which is the capital of Armenia. And one day when I was at the computer, I saw Serevan, and my eye must have transposed the S from mm-hmm. Sevan right. to with the Y, and I really liked it, and I kept it.
The number to call, 800-348-2551. Conrad in Stanfordville, go ahead.
Hi, Serge. This is Conrad. You know, Amy and I have enjoyed your restaurant so much over the last 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
We think it's the best in Dutchess County.
Thank you very much.
and you know, your chicken pastilla for me is a dish to die for.
Oh.
So I was wondering if you would share with everyone how you create that.
Sure, I'll be more than happy to. That's thank you for coming, and I look forward to seeing you next time. That is one dish. Actually, that's the other dish. We have two dishes at Saravan that are very Moroccan-inspired. One was the chicken with the couscous and preserved lemon and olives, and then the chicken pastilla. And I think a Moroccan may, you know, reprimand me or laugh at me for serving the pastilla the way we do. But Moroccans make it with squab. We make it with chicken thighs. And we braise the chicken thighs really slowly with onions and spices. And a lot of the spices that I use are cinnamon, cardamom, star anise, cloves, allspice. And we cook it very gently for a long, long time. So the chicken absorbs the flavor and then the liquid reduces. And once the mixture has cooled, we wrap it in a phyllo-type dough called pâte de brique, which is also very similar to an Algerian and Moroccan dough called warka, which is much more brittle than phyllo dough. With phyllo, you would need 7-8 layers minimum. With this, we only use 2 layers. And then we bake it in the oven, and as you've eaten it, we serve it on a bed of wilted romaine lettuce and herbs and surround the dish with a saffron and orange emulsion sauce. I think why a Moroccan would reprimand me or laugh at me is that the Moroccans serve it on very festive occasions. There are a lot of nuts and herbs in the mixture, and a lot of powdered sugar and cinnamon on top. And the idea is to reach in and have the phyllo dough be a protective layer between your fingers and the hot squab. And then you grab it and you make a lourme, a bite out of it, and pop it into your mouth. So You can call me, and I'll be more than happy to give you the recipe. It takes a long time to make the pastilla, but I'll be more than happy to share the recipe.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Conrad. 800-348-2551. So what about dessert? We've talked about soup, salad, the entree. What do you offer for dessert at Serevan?
Oh, we offer a lot of things, and thank you for asking. One of the desserts that, again, makes me very happy that has been a success is nazuk, which is a Armenian coffee cake. It's a yeast-based dough, and it can have a nut filling or it can just have a simple sweetened filling. And I serve it with Armenian coffee. And I'm very happy that I was able to source this specific coffee maker, Edna, which started their business. Their grandfather started a business in Tehran, Iran. So I knew that coffee in Iran. And I, as a child, didn't drink it, even as a young teenager, didn't drink it. But adults drank it all the time. And, of course, I have all these images of people sitting around and having their fortunes read. Because you tip it over, flip it over, wait a few minutes, the residue of the coffee comes down, you turn it upside down again, and you look at it, and there's all your fortune, like tea leaf fortunes.
Right.
So I'm happy that after 6 months of trial and error, I'm not a baker, but 6 months of trial and error and some advice from Armenian women who make their own nazuk, I was able to come up with a recipe that I like. So we make the nazuk, mine is nut filled, and we serve it with macerated fruit. We also serve baklava, which we make in the house. Baklava is so ubiquitous in the Middle East. I make ours with the mixture of pistachio, hazelnuts, almonds, and walnuts. And what I think makes ours unique is baklava can be really cloying because of the sugar and the honey syrup that's there. I pair it with a yogurt, walnut, and rose petal sorbet, mainly to cut the cloying impact that baklava can have on your mouth.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. Coffee from that part of the world is pretty strong, pretty rich, isn't it?
The objective of coffee is to drink it, you know, have a shot, and then go about your day.
Not to sip a coffee.
Not
a cup
to sip
like
it
we do
all
here.
Day long. When I came to the U.S. And I saw people drinking coffee, you know,
5 gallon paper cups and
And I that took some used to it. I have a couple cups of coffee in the morning. That's it for me.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Rosalind in Hudson. Hello, Rosalind? Hello, Rosalind? Hello? No? I think we may have lost her connection. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. 800-348-2551. Are Americans much more willing now to try out something different? When I was a youngster, there were Chinese restaurants, and that was about it. Then you saw Japanese, you saw Indian, you see Pakistani, you see so many cuisines represented now. And I imagine the most of your clientele is probably not foreign-born, and they're just willing to try new cuisine, new ideas, new tastes.
Well, you know, I think if I'm speaking of my own cuisine, I think my cuisine, what I do is quintessentially Hudson Valley cuisine. And the reason I call it Hudson Valley cuisine, and many people may disagree with me, is because my inspiration, my sourcing, my interactions, where I have a dialectic, is really the Hudson Valley, the Berkshires. And that's where my inspiration comes. You know, I fly around. I recently became a pilot, so I fly around the area and look down. I drive around and take a lot of photographs. I take a lot of walks in the area, and I photograph. So my life is in the Hudson Valley. So I cook in the Hudson Valley with Hudson Valley ingredients. But what I bring to the table is my Armenian and Iranian heritage.
Right.
So I think the food culture, just in general, whether, you know, we're talking in the Northwest, Northeast, or we're talking the country, I think food, the importance of food, the importance of eating well, the importance of enjoying food, not necessarily eating well, because that implies healthy eating, mm-hmm. but learning to let go of restrictions, of neurosis, and enjoying food. I think we've come a long way in just the last 10, 15 years that I have been cooking professionally and I have an interaction with diners. I think we've come a long, long way.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Kate in Stone Ridge. Kate.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. This show is great. I'm very inspired by what you're saying. And I wanted to ask more or less about eggplant, which you've mentioned, and I've never heard of marinating eggplant, so I was kind of curious about how you do that, what ingredients you use, and also just for roasting it, do you do it, you know, drying it out and salting it, or do you use smaller, more like aubergine type eggplant? So that's my basic question.
Right. Well, I think anything that you see, you know, when I have a cooking class, I always say, you know, the ingredients are just us. What is it that we want to do? Are we going out to the opera? We're going to a ballet? We're going to a cocktail party? Or we're going to a formal dinner party? Or you're just going out with your friends, you know? So how do you want to get dressed? How do you want to present yourself? So that is really the question I ask myself when I see an ingredient. What am I doing with it? Or what does it feel like doing? What's the season? So these are all various questions that come to mind. So, and then there are technical issues. You know, do you want acidity? Do you want a little bit of fat? You definitely need some salt. Do you want your spice to be from black pepper? Do you want it to be from cayenne pepper? Do you want it to be from green peppercorns, red peppercorns, or Sichuan peppercorns? How do you want to add, or do you want it to be Aleppo pepper? And what type of a cologne do you feel like putting on yourself? Do you want to put a cilantro on? Do you want to put a parsley on, a tarragon on? So I think these are the issues. So the way I marinate them is I cut them basically equal sizes. If it's a thin, a long eggplant, I'll slice it about 1 inch, and I'll try to slit them a little bit, and I'll toss them with whatever flavorings I have in mind, whatever acidity I want to use, whatever oil I want to use, whatever fragrance I want to impart on that, and let them sit for about an hour. Let them sit for, because eggplant would absorb it. It will go inside of the eggplant. And then do you want to roast it really quickly? Do you put it in a really high oven? Or do you want to roast it really gently? I make a soup with marinated eggplants and tomatoes, shallots, and garlic. And I leave it in the oven, add some tomato water to it, and let it roast for 2 hours. All I have to do, 2-3 hours, depending on how thickly I've cut the eggplants or what the nature of the eggplants is. And then all I have to do is just put it in the blender, pass it through a chinois, and I have a delicious, delicious soup. So I hope that was helpful, my response to you.
You mentioned that you roast the eggplant before freezing it. And so, like, that kind of treatment, what would you do just as a basic?
Well, that is that basically, because I do it with specifically with this salad, this specific salad. So I try to keep it very naked, unflavored, so I can add more flavor to it. So I just, we char them because I want a little bit of smoke flavor to it. I char them on the fire, open fire first. Then I put them in an oven-proof container. Cover it, put it in the oven until they bake and they deflate and they become soft. And when they're, you know, cool enough to handle, I scoop out the meat and I freeze the meat. So I have eggplant meat.
All right. Well, great. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much for calling. The number to call, a few minutes left, is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Our guest today on Food Friday has been the chef at Saravan in Amini, New York. That's in Dutchess County, Serge Madikians. And the number to call, 800-348-2551. What about pairing your dishes with wine and even with some of the craft beers that are just seem to be exploding across the country? Do you offer advice at the restaurant on which wine this dish goes with, which wine that dish goes with?
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink
myself,
not for religious reasons. I just don't. But I think there are certain dishes that you want a heavier wine. There are certain dishes that you want lighter wines with. You want some oaky Chardonnay, or you want a drier Chardonnay or crisper Chardonnay. That type of advice I give. But generally, I try to I don't find myself compelled to give advice because I think everyone's flavor is very different. You know, there are restaurants that will not accept any substitutions. You know, chefs will say there's no substitutions here and there. Which I think is really egotistical. I don't understand that at all in any shape and form. You know, I'm in a service business, and I really like making somebody happy. If you want to come and eat my duck with potato purees, be my guest. I'll do it on a Friday. I'll do it on a Sunday. I'll do it on a Monday. On a Friday, Saturday, we don't do that. We discourage substitutions for a very simple reason. We're busy. And when you want substitutions, you're throwing a wrench into the mechanism. Mm. You know, I was told a long time ago by a chef that I have great admiration for, you know, before becoming a chef, before becoming a cook, I have to become a machine. And a line cook is a well choreographed dancer. That's one of the things that gave me such thrill about being a line cook, because it was the challenge of finding the choreography of efficiency. For every move you make is completely efficient. It has a purpose. So when you come to me, so when I see a duck order, boom, 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 boom. That's the rhythm. That's what goes in my head. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. This is what I do. Those are the movements. So when you want it with potato puree, you're changing my choreography. And on a busy night, that's really doing a disservice to the cook.
Yeah. That must have been hard for you to be a machine, because you're such an emotional, passionate man, to become mechanical in a way. Was it tough for you?
No, I was a very graceful machine because I looked at it as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are coming up. You have to make your movements extremely efficient. Otherwise, you're in the weeds.
Jim, we have time for one quick question. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jim. I'm curious to know what you think of Ottolenghi and his cookbook Jerusalem.
Oh, I think Sami Tamimi and Yotam Ottolenghi, I think they're incredible. I think they're incredible. I think that's a wonderful book. And I think they do amazing stuff. And they bring sexuality, sensuality, belief, culture, flavor, love, affection, hate, sorrow, everything to food, which I think food should have.
It's a brilliant cookbook.
I agree with you. I think they're great. They're great cooks, and they're doing great work.
Sounds like a novel, not a cookbook.
Well, you know, to me, food is a very, very wide area, and it touches everything. It touches culture. It touches politics. It touches emotions. It touches love. You know. Andre Saltner.
We're just about out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off right there, but we had just a wonderful hour. You're interesting, very interesting, and I recommend highly that I've never been there, but Saravan sounds like a great place. Thank you, Chef Serge.
Thank you for having me here.
We're just about out of time. My apologies to those people left on the line. Our guest today was Chef Serge Madikians of Saravan in Amenia, New York, in Dutchess County. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took our calls. Producer Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithasus.com. The Preservation League of New York State in Albany announcing their new website with more information about membership, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Reed Media, tools for colleges and high schools to publish student achievements online, in print, and in social media. ReedMedia.com. Thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop.